God's people. Let's take God's word and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you have a few Bibles being the black book in front of your seat, it would be page 1766. And we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're reading this morning verses 23 through 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 34. And before we read the word of the Lord, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Father, we give you praise for your holy, inerrant, infallible word, that it is a word that cannot err and does not err. And Father, it is fully authoritative for our lives. Every single jot and tittle throughout all of the Word of God is for us, and it is for our good. And so we ask that you would help us now by your Holy Spirit to give us ears to hear, and that you would fill us with the pure milk of the Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. These are the words of God. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come." Those are the words of God. Well, next Lord's Day, just like we said in the announcement before worship, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper. There are some things we must consider when coming to the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we will be hearing this morning and called to is sort of an introduction to what we will be hearing sermons the week before we partake of the Lord's Supper. We ought to know some of the history of our congregation. It goes all the way back to the Westminster Divines in the 1600s, that they said the following concerning the Lord's Supper and public worship. They said, and it's older language, it says, "It is requisite that the public warning be given the Sabbath day before the administration thereof, and that either then or on some day of that week, something concerning that ordinance," which would be the Lord's Supper, "and the due preparation thereunto and participation thereof be taught, that by the diligent use of all means sanctified of God to that end, both in public and private, all may come better prepared to that heavenly feast." And it is a heavenly feast, especially in that foreshadowing and giving us hope in what awaits us as the children of God in glory, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that perfect communion that we will have with Jesus Christ. of those who are his children. That's what they will have. And so they said, the Westminster Divines, that it's required that something concerning that ordinance and the due preparation thereunto and participation thereof be taught. Why? So all may come, they said, better prepared to that heavenly feast. And so from now on, we will be hearing the Lord's Day prior to when we have the Lord's Supper. We will be hearing a sermon on the Lord's Supper and Christ's sacrifice for us on the cross. And for the foreseeable future, we'll focus mostly our attention on how to prepare in ourselves in coming to the Lord's Supper. And that's what we're going to do this morning, though it is very much an introduction to it. And we really are going to be looking over the larger catechism. It's actually there in your bulletin, the larger catechism 171. It's on the inside, this side portion right here, this writing right here. This is what we're looking really at this morning. This italicized, it says right below it, larger catechism answer to question number 171. And which, in God's providence, we see it right there in our bulletin, thankfully, because that's what we're looking at. And there, it asks the question, that this catechism question and answer, it asks the question, though the question isn't there in your bulletin, the answer is, the question is, how are they that receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper to prepare themselves before they come unto it? And so we have it right there for us this morning, the answer to that question. The answer to the question that is a very neglected part of the church throughout the world today, of how to prepare. Most churches, most places, not saying we're any better, most churches and people, saints, do not prepare to come to the Lord's Supper, to this sacrament. And so the answer to the question, you see it there in your bulletin, it begins with this: they that receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper before they come before they come to prepare themselves thereunto. We are to prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper, to this sacrament. And then it tells us how to do that. The very next words, by examining themselves. We must examine ourselves. And we're going to see the scripture prove that we believe here in the catechism of the necessity to prepare ourselves in coming to the Lord's table. How do we do this? We examine ourselves, is what it says, and that's what it says in our passage before us, right there in verse 28. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, it says it very clear. But let a man examine himself. And it's not only talking about a man, it's talking about everybody. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And you must examine yourself before you come and partake of the bread and the cup. That's what he says there. That's what's implied. And now this is going to get uncomfortable. Maybe not as uncomfortable this Lord's Day, but maybe in coming Lord's Days. And hopefully this week, as you look at this catechism question, you help yourself as you examine yourself. But it's an uncomfortable thing to examine yourself. It's not a comfortable thing. That's what self-examination is supposed to do. It's a problem. It really is a problem if you examine yourself and you come back and you say, well, I'm a very wonderful person, and everything about me is really good. It's a problem if you examine yourself and that you come to that conclusion. Because the truth is, if you do that and you come to that conclusion, you're lying to yourself. Because God says that's not true. We're in sin. Even God's people still have remaining sin. And so Paul said what? He had said in Romans, that which I want to do, I don't do. And that which I need to do, you know, those things. But this is what self-examination is supposed to do. Self-examination is meant to root out those sins that so easily cling to us. And you remember that we talked about mortification, that is, putting sin to death, getting rid of sin, in Romans 8:13. That self-examination is a big part of that. And we remember that we must be killing sin, or sin will be killing you. And so we must be about the duty of carefully and intimately examining ourselves before the Lord. And let's read the whole answer to the question there in your bulletin. We'll read the whole thing. It says, they that receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper are, before they come, to prepare themselves thereunto, by examining themselves, as we saw in verse 28, of their being in Christ, of their sins and wants, of the truth and measure of their knowledge, faith, repentance, love to God and the brethren, charity to all men, forgiving those that have done them wrong, of their desires after Christ, and of their new obedience, and by renewing the exercise of these graces by serious meditation and fervent prayer. There are really 12 things there, as you look in your bulletin. There's 12 things in the answer to that question that we need to examine in ourselves in preparation in coming to the Lord's Supper. Of our being in Christ, of our sins, of our wants, of the truth and measure of our knowledge, of the truth and measure of our faith, of the truth and measure of our repentance, of our love to God, of our love to the brethren, that is God's people, of our charity to all men, of our forgiving those that have done us wrong, of our desires after Christ, and of our new obedience. And then there's three things given at the very end, three more things at the end that we ought to apply to each of those 12 things. Each of the 12 things we just listed, there's these three things that you ought to apply to each one of them. And so we do this by renewing the exercise of these graces connected to each of the 12 things we listed, by serious meditation connected to each of the 12 things listed, and by fervent prayer connected to each of the 12 things. And that's what the Lord calls us to through His Word. In our preparation for the Lord's Supper. And as we go through these points in the coming, every time we have the Lord's Supper, we will look at the scriptures that prove these things and show these things. But we also need to know that preparation does not only concern the Lord's Supper. It does not only have to deal with the Lord's Supper. We ought to be really concerned with our preparation for worship here on the Lord's Day, every Lord's Day. We know the question, how is the Lord's Day, the Sabbath, to be sanctified? And part of the answer is that we are to prepare our hearts for it. How are we to keep the fourth commandment? How are we to keep this day holy? And the larger catechism says that we are helped in our preparation to keep it. And so by implication, this preparation cannot be merely the day of, and so you don't come, or you're not at home in the morning of the Lord's Day, on this day, Sunday, and you're then starting to prepare to keep this day. You have to prepare to keep the day before the day comes. Just like when you're preparing to go on a trip, you're preparing before you go on the trip, right? And so it's the same also with preparing to hear the word preached. In Larger Catechism 160, we are to prepare to hear the word preached. And so just as hearing the word requires preparation, and so partaking of the Lord's Supper requires preparation. And specifically, of course, we're looking at the need and the means of preparing for partaking of the Lord's Supper. Now, as we think about it, we can admit to ourselves, probably, right now, at least for most of us, that we are negligent in preparing for the Lord's Day. Just examining your thinking of yourself, we are negligent in preparing. That means we do not prepare adequately, or we don't prepare at all for the Lord's Day. For the Lord's Day, this day, as we come to worship. And we're negligent, we don't prepare, or we're really bad at preparing to hear the word preached. And even though God requires it in His Word. And the preparing of the Lord's Supper is somewhat like preparing to hear the Word preached. It's like this extra level of preparing from the Lord's Day. You add on top of that preparing for the Word preached. And then when you have the Lord's Supper, you prepare for that too. And remember that this, as we think of this, a question that we must ask is, why do we need to prepare at all? Why do we need to prepare? Now we acknowledge, just as we call it, this is the Lord's Supper. This is the Lord's Supper. It's not my supper. It's not our church's supper. It's not our any of your supper. We're talking about the Lord's Supper. This is Jesus Christ's supper. And this is the supper of communion and fellowship that we get to have with one another, but also with Christ, as we celebrate the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is specifically his death on the cross for our sins. But we don't have this sacrament, we don't have this supper, unless our Lord and Jesus Christ gives it to us and offers it to us and invites us to come to it. It's he who invites us to come. And therefore, much like worship, which is the Lord's worship, so this, the Lord's Supper, we must treat it not as anything small or light. This is from God. And he doesn't give it to just anyone. He gives it to his children. And so this is not something small or light, as it is from God, the God of all creation, the God of all salvation. And so this is his. And so it's due all our honor. It's due all of our respect. And it's due all of our reverence and carefulness. It's a very solemn ordinance. This ordinance of Jesus Christ, or sacrament. And just as we prepare, or ought to prepare according to the Lord's commandment for the Lord's day, we must also prepare for the Lord's Supper. And those of you who understand, may understand preparation for the Lord's day, even in the physical things, you ought to then be able to grasp the need for the preparation for the Lord's Supper. But generally speaking, of churches in our nation, and not separating ourselves from that, we would conclude, most likely, that if we were to go into all of them, the vast majority of churches that do celebrate the Lord's Supper, some who espouse to be churches don't celebrate the Lord's Supper at all, even though Christ commanded it to be done. But if we go into those churches that do celebrate it, then we would see that for the vast majority of them, they treat it as a very light thing. It's very rushed. It's very, well, let's just get all the things out and we'll partake and do all these things. And there's not a very solemn attitude about it, thinking and dwelling upon the sacrifice of Christ for the children of God, for me. Christ died for me. It's often treated with no respect, with disrespect. And perhaps we're guilty of that as well. And we today begin examining ourselves not only as individuals, but as a congregation, as we ought to do. And there are some churches that worship the elements of the Lord's Supper. That is, they worship the cup, the wine, or they worship the bread. They worship it. They treat it as if it is the literal physical body of Jesus Christ and literal blood of Jesus Christ. But it is not, as it is clearly shown in the Word. They worship the elements. And then there are some churches who don't care about the institution of the Lord's Supper, and they treat it very lightly, as we just said. And so they have no problem partaking of the supper with potato chips or with pop or water. They treat it so lightly, and yet God commanded bread, wine, bread, and the cup. And so those, of course, are the two extremes, to worship the elements or to treat it lightly. But we don't worship the sacrament, but we also don't treat it lightly either, according to Christ's command. And you just look at the passage before us this morning. There's great care that is taken, because the Lord's Supper is a means of honoring Christ and the gospel and the ultimate sacrifice that was made for us. That the Father delivered over his own Son. He delivered him up for us all, not sparing him. And Jesus willingly going to the cross for our sakes, willingly going to the cross and dying so that we would have life forever and not die. And it's a means, therefore, as we celebrate that sacrament, it's a means of encouraging us in Christ as a means of grace, so that also an ordinance to strengthen us, the people of God, in faith. And God's people, we must understand that this sacrament is the means by which the Lord wants to grant you his grace. This is how he wants you to receive his grace. not to be saved, but to grow in grace and faith, and continue strengthening you as a child of God. And it's designed as a communication of His grace to His children, reminding you over and over of the death of Jesus Christ, His own Son, and as we've been learning in Romans 8, who the Father did not spare. He did not hold Him back from this death, but He delivered Him over to it because He loves us, His children. He wants to bless you. He gave this sacrament to bless His children, His people. He wants you to grow in happiness in Him and communion with Him and in the gospel. And right, and you think of this, this is the 1 Corinthians 10. This is the cup of blessing. Right? This is made, the Lord's Supper is made to bless the children of God. And if we say we must prepare, as God says we must prepare, some people take that and then think that then this needed examination of myself is a means to keep me from the sacrament. Especially if you're diligent and you really do examine yourself. And then you think, this examination, perhaps you think this, is meant to keep me from the sacrament. But that would not, that couldn't be further from the truth. Look at verse 28 again. But let a man examine himself, and so, that is, and so in that way, but let a man examine himself, and so in that way, let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. This preparation, this examination is in order for you to then eat and drink. It's for the purpose so that you will partake. It's not to keep you from it. The outcome of your self-examination, beloved, ought to be your repentance from your sin. As you examine yourself, you will see the sin that still remains in you. And so then wanting and desiring to turn from it. And then also to grow in Christ and in faith and love for Him, and then receiving the blessing from God. Then look again at the passage. Because what happens if you don't prepare? What happens if you don't prepare? What happens if you don't examine yourself? It talks about verse 27 about those who partake unworthily. It says now, verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members. Verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And so then what happens if you partake unworthily? Verse 29, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Now think how serious this is, beloved. People die by coming unworthily to the Lord's Supper. This is a very serious sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And we'll read verse 29 again and show you. You can see, pick out every time you hear the word judgment to the end of the chapter, verse 29. Again, it says, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That, there's a judgment again. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord. That's a judgment, a chastening by the Lord. That we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together and to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. If there are so many judgments attached to partaking unworthily and celebrating the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, then we must strive to partake worthily, right? We must strive to partake worthily. That's the only conclusion we can come to. And one thing that each of us must come away from this morning, from this text, is that if we come to the Lord's Supper without preparing to partake of it, then we are disobeying the Lord. Because He clearly says, examine yourself. That at least you have to do. And maybe in the coming weeks when we cover the Lord's Supper again, we'll see more of where He shows us how to prepare. But at least you have to examine yourself. And you have to be able to prepare in examining what this means of the Lord's body. And so, beloved, we're remember that when we fail to prepare to partake, we are disobeying the Lord. We are in sin. We ought to know that. At the same time, though, and please listen, at the same time, what we are doing in preparation is not, when we prepare, we are not in making ourselves, we're not making ourselves worthy to come. We're not making ourselves worthy to come to the Lord's table. The whole point of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the whole point then of the Lord's Supper is that we are not worthy. None of us are worthy to come to the Lord's Supper and partake. We can do nothing to be worthy. This is not about earning or meriting anything before the Lord. What is required here is not your own merit. The merit alone belongs to Christ Jesus. And that's alone how we can come worthy before His Lord's Supper. Thomas Houston, who is a Reformed Presbyterian minister, gave this quote concerning one's worthiness to come to the table. And it's lengthy, so listen closely to what it says. He says, "The Scripture does not declare the unfitness of persons to partake of the sacrament, but the manner in which this is to be done. It means only observing the feast in an unworthy manner, in a spirit and way, for the purposes unsuitable to the nature of the ordinance or sacrament, and for the ends for which it was instituted. Were this distraction kept properly in view, it might remove hindrances out of the way of weak and timid believers coming to the supper, and might prevent the dark conclusion at which some doubting Christians are prone, that communicating unworthily amounts to the unpardonable sin. Some, fixing the mind unduly on the apostle's expression and misunderstanding it, are deterred from coming on the ground that, as they feel themselves to be unworthy, they would only expose themselves to condemnation by partaking of the ordinance. They purpose, therefore, to delay till they are more worthy, or, as they imagine, better prepared. This is not only a misapplication and perversion of the inspired words, that's God's words, but also a dangerous error. None are in themselves worthy of any privilege of the gospel or of admission to any ordinance, and they cannot, by any preparation of their own, render themselves worthy. Believers themselves, if they would find acceptance, must rest wholly on the worth and worthiness of the Redeemer, that is Jesus Christ. Even with the deepest consciousness of unfitness, we may, if relying altogether on His merits and desiring to glorify Him and to be saved by Him, approach to a sealing ordinance and obtain the blessing, or approach the Lord's Supper and obtain the blessing." And so what he's saying, there is the Lord's Supper is for unworthy people. You who cling alone to Jesus Christ, who makes them worthy of His sacrifice. He makes them worthy, not the other way around. If you're in Christ, then you are worthy to partake of the supper, and yet you ought not to come too easily to the supper. That's what the warning here from Paul is in 1 Corinthians 11. But then on the other side of this, if you lack preparation, remembering that if you don't prepare, it is a sin. It is a disobeying of the Lord. Or, if your lack of preparation, or you're a doubting Christian, Larger Catechism 172, that's the one right after the one in your bulletin, so it's not in your bulletin. But that catechism question shows that you are to come to the table not because you are worthy in and of yourself, but as you rest wholly on the worth and worthiness of Jesus Christ. Even if you don't prepare, or if you're a doubting Christian, struggling Christian, you are to come based alone in the worthiness of Jesus Christ. You come worthy in union with Him. Stephen Charnock says this: "The apostle doth not say, whatsoever unworthy person eats and drinks of this cup, i.e., for thus he had excluded every man, himself too. For who is worthy enough for these things? As the apostle speaks in another case, who is sufficient for these things?" Paul is really warning here of those who come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, in an unregenerate state. That is, they don't have that change of heart. The Holy Spirit has to come into their heart, change their heart so that they can believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's who he's talking to when he says that they ought not to come, and they come in an unworthy manner. Because they are not in Christ. And Christ, they are not worthy in union with Christ. Because they are not in union with him. And I hope this makes sense to them. That while we are called to prepare, this is not meant to be a discouragement from coming to the Lord's Supper and partaking of it for the purpose that you would be blessed. But the question then we ask is, how do we know if we are regenerate or unregenerate? That is, how do we know if we're a Christian or not? How do we know if we're a Christian or not, if we have a new heart or we do not have a new heart? This alone must be done. How? Through examining ourselves. That's why we must prepare. So then we are not judged if we come unworthily. Maybe you think you're in Christ, but then you examine yourself and you find, I'm not in Christ. Then you ought not to come, but you ought to come to Christ instead. And so you're encouraged to go home today and throughout this week. And even today, especially, and read Larger Catechism 172. You can write that down. We have Larger Catechism copies over here if you want a Larger Catechism. 172 and the Scripture proofs. Try to read the Scripture proofs for each of the answers, from each of the parts of the answer to 172. And they would be an encouragement to you. And hopefully then an encouragement to come to the Lord's Supper next Lord's Day. But while you should come, Christian, to the Lord's Supper, even if you have not prepared, which is disobedience to the Lord, the sin of not preparing, this preparation is still completely needed. It is completely needed so as to make the blessing and God's grace unto you all the more effectual to you. That you'll receive Him, you'll receive Christ and receive His grace that He wants to give to you. And so our God in Christ wants to bless you. And He teaches here how to prepare by verse 28, examining yourselves. And by examining ourselves, so then come and eat the bread and drink the cup. We won't go into all the particulars of how to prepare this time. Again, this is an introduction, but you're encouraged to this week make your way through Larger Catechism 171 as a help, the one in your bulletin there. You go through and renew those graces. Meditate upon what the Lord calls you to and examine yourself in relation to those truths. And so it said, do you love Christ? Do you love God? Examine yourself. Do I really love God? And then it says, do I love the brethren? Do I really love the brethren? Am I showing that in my life through fruits of the Spirit? Those are the things you're called to do. As we prepare for the Lord's Supper, we have a wonderful Redeemer. We have a wonderful Savior who is our Lord. He gave Himself up even as the Father delivered Him up for us all who are in union with Him. And so we are called here to cling to Him, to lay hold of Christ. He makes us worthy before the Lord and makes us worthy through His sacrifice to come and celebrate His sacrifice in the Lord's Supper. And yet some of you here have not believed the gospel. Perhaps you've not believed the gospel, the good news, and so you're called to come. Christ calls you to come unto Himself and believe on Him. As we think of the table of the Lord, which we'll have the next Lord's Day, the celebration of the supper, unless you first come to Him, you cannot partake. But He has been delivered over by the Father. He has died on the cross for the sins of those who believe in Him. And He has risen to newness of life and now reigns as King on the throne. But why did He die? He died because of us. Because we are sinners. Because we have sinned against a holy and righteous God. We sinned against Jesus Christ. And so He, out of His love for His people, came and died on the cross and to take the sin upon Himself. And to take the condemnation, the justice, the true justice, the wrath of God upon Him instead of it falling upon us. And so you are called to come. Even all those who believe on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life, and so come and lay hold of Christ, and so then come to the Lord's table and commune with Him and His bride, with His bride, the church. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give you all praise that the worthiness, we are not found worthy in and of ourselves, because we know that we've done wrong, we've sinned against you, we've broken your commandments, all of them, in thought, word, and deed. And Father, we have even as you say, as we are angry with someone, we are committing murder in our hearts. And so, Father, yes, we have sinned, and the wages of even the one sin of hatred towards another, being angry at another, that is worthy of being put to death for all eternity, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. But, Father, we give you praise that you love us in your Son, and you have given your Son over so that we would have life in Him alone. And so, Father, if there are any here who don't know you, that you would call them to yourself now, and by your Holy Spirit, fill their heart. And Father, may your word do the great work. May the word be planted and watered and grow to produce great fruit in all of our hearts. And prepare us, Father. Give us a heart and desire to prepare ourselves as you work through us this week to come to your table, the Lord's Supper, to partake together before your throne of the bread that symbolizes your body given, and the cup which symbolizes your blood spilled for us. Father, help us in all these things. We are unworthy. We are inadequate. And yet we are worthy, most worthy, in Jesus Christ. And we praise His name for it. And we pray in His name. Amen.